Acts chapter 9, as I said. I want to talk to you tonight about kind of an unusual topic. I hope it's an encouragement to you. The power of your God-given ability. The power of your God-given ability. I originally titled that, and I went back and changed it because I didn't want someone to think that I'm suggesting that we can accomplish anything without God. I put up, almost sent it to Todd, the power of your ability. But I want to emphasize that your ability comes from God. And even people who are not saved, I believe they get their unique ability from God. For example, one of Ryder's favorite football players is Tyreek Hill. He plays for the Dolphins. And Tyreek Hill is said to be the fastest player in the NFL. They call him the cheetah. And we've heard him interviewed a few times, and he does not talk like a Christian. He talks terrible at times. But I believe, even though he's not a believer, I believe he gets that unique ability from God. You're born with it from his creator. He's able to run that fast. And so I believe some people, I believe they're different kinds of smart. I believe some people have good IQs, high IQs. Some people have good EQ, your emotional quotient, where you are able to assess the situation and the people around you, and you understand people a little bit better, and some people understand things in the books better. I believe there are people who are smart in terms of their intellect, but they're not mechanically smart. I mean, they may have graduated from Harvard, but they can't change a flat tire. And you know what I'm saying. So everybody's smart in different ways and has different kinds of abilities and all these things. But I believe that God gives us our abilities. And let me show you what I mean. And we won't turn there just to give you an idea. When God was getting ready, or he gave the instructions on how to build the ark in the and all of the furnishings, he says, he tells them, he said in Exodus 31, he said, he speaks to some of the men from the tribe of Judah. He says, I have filled them with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, etc. I filled them with the Spirit, and I gave them ability that includes intelligence, knowledge, craftsmanship, and so forth. Sometimes when they were getting ready to finance building projects, Ezra 3:9 says that they gave after their ability to the treasurer of the work. So people had different financial ability. People had different mechanical ability. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 talked about some who had the ability to enjoy life. We've met people like that. And I've met people that have no ability to enjoy life. I mean, they just live in the doldrums. They cannot be happy, and they're happier when they're not happy, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, but Ecclesiastes 9, you can look at it sometimes. He says, hey, look, there are those who know how to love their wife and love their family and love good things, and they have the ability to enjoy life. And so God has made us different. Some people, 1 Corinthians 10, all of us as believers, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, none of us are tempted beyond our ability. In other words, no temptation, the King James says, has taken you but what's common to man. God will, with the temptation, give you a way of escape. One of the modern translations says, none is tempted beyond their ability. Matthew 25, you remember the parable I talked to you about, the talents? God, Jesus gives to each man according to what? His several ability. He gave some 10, some 5, some 1. He gave them according to their ability, and actually it means their personal ability. He assessed their ability, and he gave them a certain amount of money in that particular parable, according to what he believed their ability to invest and make that grow and so forth. So ability is something that we all have, though we may have it on different degrees and different levels. Now, when I say there's power in your God-given ability, this is what I want you to see. The word used where Jesus gives to every man according to his ability, the word comes from the word dunamis. It means strength and power. And so he gives according to their strength and power. In other words, he equates ability with strength and power. W. Vine says it's this. It is a word that describes inherent power. Power that resides in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Ability is power that is inherent. It resides in a person by virtue of it, or a thing by virtue of its nature. For example, I looked up, just curious, what is the most powerful animal in the world? Well, according to the article I read, it is the African bush elephant. That is the most powerful animal in the world. It has a total of 40,000 muscles. With the African elephant, with its trunk alone, it can lift more than 700 pounds with its trunk. They can carry up to 25% of their body weight without causing any discomfort or pressure. And that allows them to easily carry somewhere up 2,875 pounds on their back with no real stress or no sweat. So their ability, that's their power. You understand what I'm saying? Their ability is equated with their power. They have it is inherent in their nature. And so this ability to carry all that weight is a powerful ability. The human bite, for example, we bite at 120 PSI, which is pounds per square inch. Most of us, that's our bite. The force of this same elephant's bite is 2,175 pounds per square inch. You don't want to get bit by one of these elephants. I didn't even know they bite. Why do they have to if they're that strong? My point is, God gave that elephant a lot of ability, and that ability in power and ability, okay? So what I'm saying is, I want you to think about the ability that God has given you, and think about it in terms of it being a very powerful tool to be effective for God's glory. You put a person that is using their God-given ability, and they are, as Ezra described, filled with the Spirit, you know, and God is working in their life, that's effective ministry, the power of your ability. I want you to look at Peter tonight in our text in the book of Acts. He is a man that's a great minister. You know, when we think about Peter, we're all endeared to Peter because we see, you know, probably for the wrong reasons. We know he was impulsive at times. He was impetuous at times. And we know that we're the same, you know, we're that way a lot. But when God, after he was converted, Jesus said, when thou art converted, you're going to strengthen the brethren. He's not talking about his salvation. He's talking about from this weakness that you have, when God's power has come upon you and he empowers your life, you're going to be a person that's going to have great ability to strengthen the brethren. I want you to look with me in Acts chapter number 9 and verse 32 through verse 43, and I'll read the text, and we're going to come back and go over it for a few minutes tonight, and I'll try to summarize and hopefully make a point or two that will be helpful to us. The word of our Lord says, "And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, which he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there found a certain man named Aeneas, which he had kept his bed for years, for he was sick of the palsy. Peter said unto Aeneas, Jesus maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and alms and deeds which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. When they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was there. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. Turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes when she saw Peter and sat up. And he gave her his hand. He lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. It came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner." Now, here is a person, Peter, that has extraordinary ability that translates into extraordinary power. He, as an apostle, has apostolic gifts. And as I've told you before, when there is extraordinary callings, there was extraordinary gifts. And Peter is using those extraordinary gifts to the glory of God here. His ministry is very powerful. His ability is very powerful. He has ability because of the special gift that God has given him, and it's very, very powerful. But he's also a great preacher. When you read Peter's sermons after Pentecost, there's a lot to learn there, not just in the content, but I look at his sermons and I'm fascinated at the way he organizes his message. And then he begins with this gripping, this kind of attention-getting moment. You know, at this verse, he says, "These men are not drunk like you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day." He gets very personal. His theme's always Christ. He supports his sermons with Scripture. And he always calls for a response from his listeners. He is a man with great ability in his preaching ability. He has great strength in his life, personal strength. He submits to persecution. He's filled with the Spirit. He declares his obedience to God despite the circumstances of his life. Peter's a great example in many, many ways. But this special ability that he has, when he uses it, extraordinary things happen. Now, I don't believe today that these men that call themselves apostles have the same ability that Peter had. Peter raised the dead. Peter healed the sick. There are places in the Scripture said that the power of God rested such on Peter that when he walked by, people were healed in his shadow. And so, he's got ability, And this ability is powerful, and it is a God-given ability. Now, I believe in cessation of many of these sign gifts. You know, the gifts of healing, gifts of tongues were sign gifts. I'm not probably as hard a cessationist as some are. What I mean by that is this. I would not say that God could not enable someone to speak in a language that someone might understand in some third world country to get the gospel to that person. Could that still happen today? I think God can do anything he wants to do. I don't believe you can put God in a box. I believe, generally speaking, that these sign gifts have ceased. But I would not spend any time arguing with some missionary that may say to me, Frank, I'm telling you, God just enabled me to talk to this man and give this man the gospel. I'd say, praise the Lord. That's between you and God. I mean, that's beyond my understanding, full, complete understanding. Though I do generally believe that extraordinary gifts were given to men that had extraordinary callings, apostles. I'm an ordinary man with an ordinary gift, and I don't have these extraordinary abilities. But I have some ability, and the ability can be powerful if it's used properly. You have ability. But I want you to see that word power, I'm talking about the effectiveness of that ability that you have. When you are using your God-giving ability, it can be powerful, it can be effective, and that should encourage you to do it, to use it. Let's talk about principles for personal ministry or powerful ministry. Now, Peter, as I said, is a wonderful example in our text. Peter's obviously special ability. Peter, number one, he ministers according to his ability, and his ability is fascinating. And I got a little ahead of myself a while ago, but in verse 34 again, just to remind you, he tells Aeneas to rise. Aeneas, Peter said, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, take your mat. And he rose and he got up. He is ministering according to his ability, and it's a special ability, and it's very, very powerful. He was an apostle. He does the same thing with Tabitha. Now, you say, well, Frank, it was God that healed Aeneas, and it was God that raised Tabitha, and that's true. But he certainly used Peter. In verse 36 and verse 37, again in Joppa, it tells us the story again. Make no mistake, the highlighted part says, she became sick and she died. This is an extraordinary situation. This girl's dead. And they didn't pick her up and take her to the cemetery. The Jews didn't hang around dead bodies because they were very careful about that, because if they contacted dead bodies, then they could be disqualified from public worship. And at least that was their understanding in the Old Testament. So they take her to the upper chamber. And as I just read to you, Peter sends everybody out, gets on his knees, and he talks to God. This woman was very, very special. She served others, and people were weeping at her death, and they missed her a great deal. They felt that they needed her. There have been people, I'm telling you, that we've had people like that here at this church. Think about Pat Godfrey just a moment. Don't you miss her? I mean, if you ever had an opportunity to come in contact with Pat, she was just an encourager, always encouraging others, reaching out with tremendous warmth and care and concern. I was with her just a few days before she died, and we were talking. As a matter of fact, she was one of the reasons I felt bad after the heart attack, because I promised her that I would go to the doctor. She would look at me. She said, Frank, you are not well. And she said, will you promise me you'll go to the doctor? She said, I can tell. And she just had that motherly way about her. I said, yes, Pat, I'll go to the doctor. She said, I mean, I want you to see a cardiologist. Yes, ma'am, I will. And I put it off and intended to. Told Cinda, you know, I promised Pat I've got to do it. And then, of course, the heart attack. When I'm laying there, the first thing I'm thinking about is Pat. You know, the Lord gave her that discernment. You know, Frank, something's wrong. Something's broken. You need to get this fixed. And so I miss her. And all these years, you know, that I'm here pastoring, she and I had some of the best times. We would laugh together. We almost got kicked out of a hospital one time from just getting cracked up and just laughing. I'd get her tickled, and she'd get me tickled, and we'd just laugh. People, I'll never forget it. Shh. Oh, man, that tickled Pat even more. But what I'm saying is she had a great ability, and it was powerful. I mean, when I got in her presence, you know, I was always uplifted. I was always encouraged. Well, she didn't have Peter's ability. She couldn't raise the dead. She couldn't heal anyone. She could pray for people. But she could encourage. And every encounter with her was encouraging. It was her God-given ability was powerful. So is yours. Whatever it is. And there's nothing more gratifying to use that God-given ability and help other people. These women in this room were weeping and crying, and then Peter was able to present Tabitha to them, to her, and they were joined back together. Now, just notice that... I must have run out of print and didn't check it, but let's go to the next screen here. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men, and we've been through that, okay? Just keep it moving. As I told you, his shadow, this was his special ability, included extraordinary things. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. And so he has this special ability, and it's very powerful. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Now, obviously way ahead of myself, my notes are scrambled, please forgive me. But there's his ability, okay? Don't we have a second primary point, okay? I forgot my own. Now, here's why we want to use your ability like Pat did and others do. Because it strengthens this body, this group, this our church. You see, if God gave you an ability, it's not so you can talk about what wonderful ability you have. Whatever God gave you, he wants to give it through you to strengthen the body. Notice the text here. In Ephesians, he gave some apostles and some prophets. Peter was one of those. Some evangelists and some pastor teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's strengthening and equipping the body of Christ. That's why you have ability, and if you would use your ability... You have power. You have the power to be effective. Teresa, I use her. I went to the men's, the man cave, but walking through Sunday night, and I saw all those wonderful women there that came to study the Word of God. And Teresa, obviously, a wonderful gift to teach the Word of God. How do I know that? Well, I know Teresa pretty well. But what I also know is people don't come hungry to hear if they're not getting something. And so that class has grown, and you girls look like you had over 30 people. Of course, you had a lot of good food. But they weren't there for the food. They were there. One of the ladies told me, she said, we start Romans tonight. There's no way I'm missing it. They're excited. What is that going to do for our church? Strengthens the body. People studying God's word strengthens the body. I've told you before, I know pastors that get real nervous when their people decide to study the Bible. Because it makes them have to, study a little harder. I love to see our people study. It makes us a stronger church. And so, but that may not be your ability. You may not have the ability to teach a class. But you have ability. And if you use that ability, matter of fact, I think in some cases, some people in the church ought to quit what they're doing and do what they're supposed to be doing. You understand what I mean? Because what they're doing is ineffective. It's not helping anybody. It's not strengthening the body, and it's not even blessing them. It's actually discouraging. You give me something to do that I'm not gifted to do, I may do it because I care about you and I'll give it the best shot, but it's not life enriching for me. Matter of fact, it's discouraging to me. That's why I love having a group of elders that can do some things I can't do. But when I do what I can do, I can be effective. Coach Jackson's here tonight. And I remember when Coach Jackson started class. Coach always felt like that he needed to, the Lord had given him a gift to teach. And so we provided an opportunity for him to teach and a class for him to teach. Coach told me one time, it didn't always get to where it is now, but one time he says, Frank, I looked across and there wasn't but one person in that class, and it was Marty Few. That'd scare anybody to death. He said, Marty just looked back and said, go ahead and teach, or something of that effect. Coach, how many were in class Sunday? 30-something. He's had as many as 40 in there. What is he doing? He's using his ability, and there's power. When you use your God-given ability, it's effective, and it strengthens the body. It encourages other people. And so that's why you should be using it. The church that I pastored in Uetown, when I went there, the first thing I noticed is that the guy that was leading the singing was not gifted to do it. He had a unusual personality that was almost like a Mr. Rogers. You know, the kids, watch Mr. Rogers or did for years, the Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood kind of guy. Soft-spoken and gentle. He had what I thought was really a unique gift as a children's pastor. And so, privately, I told him that. I said, I would like to move this person into the worship leading, and would you consider being a children's pastor? Because he was on staff and he was faithful and all this. And we had, a good conversation. But when he left there, he went out and said, Frank's trying to get me run off. And on the Wednesday night service, he had a large group of people that came and they were all prepared to. It was a big mess, really. And so I finally had to call him out in front of everybody and tell him exactly what was said. And so he just decided he would just leave. But I felt like he would be, to this day, I felt like he had been a very effective children's pastor. But he didn't want to be one. He wanted to be, I guess, a worship leader. Well, he was terrible at it. We had like 40 people in the choir, maybe more than that. We had all kind of people wanting to sing. He wanted to lead them. The church had 700-800 people in attendance, and he wanted, but it was just horrible. But I believe he'd have been a good children's pastor. He didn't want that. Your gift has power when your gift is put in where you want. Where you're designed or you're gifted to be. Everything else makes you feel like a failure. You know, baseball field, every little kid wants to be the pitcher. Some of them don't have an arm strong enough to break glass. And if they're ever going to be successful in baseball, they're going to have to find where their natural position is. Same way in the church. But when you get there, you strengthen the body. What's our second point? Okay, so it brings glory to Christ. And anytime you strengthen the body of Christ, you're bringing glory to Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith by which he was restored. This is Paul. He said, when people understand that I used to persecute, but my conversion was so radical that now I am preaching the very same faith that others preached, they glorified God in me. You see, when you do what you're called to do, you're going to glorify God. God will be glorified in your gift. Number three, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Back to Peter. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Why? So that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's why you have that ability. So that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when you use that special ability, you bring glory to God. And that should be the goal of everything. Finally, serving where you have ability is a mark of maturity and humility. Another example. In the same church in Uetown, there was a man, and his name was John. And John was asked to teach a Sunday school class. And somehow the nominating committee had gotten things a little bit confused. And they had asked Keith, who was another gentleman in the church, to teach a Sunday school class. And nobody did this intentionally. It would just so happened that John and Keith were both asked to teach the same class by the nominating committee. Well, Keith admitted, I'm no teacher. John was a teacher. Keith stepped out of the way and let John teach because he understood that his gifts, they were elsewhere. Now, see, that's how you're supposed to minister. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. I had such admiration for Keith. That was real humility. To admit that, hey, I'm not suited for this gift. And to allow John to preferred John above himself because John was capable and gifted to do it. So when you serve with your ability, you glorify Christ, you affect other people's lives, you edify the body of Christ, and when you do it, you're showing both maturity and humility when you do as God wants you to do. Now, what I wanted to accomplish tonight, and I'm not certain that I have, but I wanted you to evaluate what you believe your special ability is. And don't be so modest as to say, well, I don't have any ability. That's ridiculous. You certainly do on some level. And then get involved. Use that ability and watch the body of Christ get stronger around here. Watch Jesus become even more glorified in our midst. And then have either the maturity or the humility or both to do the thing that God has called you to do and not be ashamed or afraid to do something different if indeed that's what you need to do. Now, in closing, let me say this. And my sermon was not set up. Matter of fact, Cinda asked me not to talk about this yet, but when Santa tells me something, sometimes I'll just say things like, you don't think that's a good idea? I won't say, no, I'm not going to talk about it. I'll say, you don't think it'd be good to talk about it? No. And I just make a note of it. And so I made a note of it, and that's about it. I didn't bring the note with me. Cinda's really stressing. One of Cinda's abilities, some of you are new and you haven't learned her yet, but she has tremendous ability to put, she's very creative. She's written a number of plays. She's written the music to the plays. She's done all, and then she directs the plays. And so, but every time that we get ready, we haven't done that in a few years, but I personally asked her, I said, Cinda, we have so many people in our church that, you know, back in the days when we did that, everybody got to know each other, and it created this wonderful family spirit among us, and we got to see a difference. So you can come to church, and you just go to the worship, and even Sunday school, you'll know the people in your class. You come here, you'll know people in the worship service. You might know who they are, but you don't really get to know people. But in that environment, people got to know each other, and they had good times together. I said, Cinda, I think our church needs that again. And so she prayed about it, and she was willing to do it, but it stresses her out like you would not believe. She was up and down all night last night, and well, she's going to kill me when I tell you this. She broke out right here a little bit on her face because of the stress she's under and all this. And what was she doing? She's trying to make sure she included the kids that needed to be in it, but it's an adult play, really. My point is this. And then she's worried. She said, what about people that are doing their Bible studies? And we've got to practice. And we've already don't have enough time to practice and all this kind of stuff. And I says, well, we'll just all have to work together. But I still think it's something we could do if everybody's willing to work together. See, it takes a lot of ships to float the ministry here. You got worship. You got discipleship. You got stewardship. You got fellowship. And it was a great opportunity for fellowship. And it takes at least 100 people to pull it off. You get a cast of about 50. You got props that have to be made. You got costumes that have to be. But everybody's working together. And the play has a spiritual element. I mean, well, we wouldn't be doing it at all. It's got a powerful message. So, against her advice, but for my personal sanity, would you pray for her? Because, see, if she could get settled down, I could get some sleep myself. But I can't hardly sleep when she's just up and down and talk. But I encouraged her to use her ability because I know how effective it can be. And those of you that are aware of it know that as well. So she's going to be coming around and asking you for some of these things. And I hope we'll all work together and accomplish what needs to be accomplished, because I think it's good. And we usually have to do it two nights because the community has heard about it, and that we can't seat all the people that want to come and watch it. So I say that, yeah, it's something of a commercial, but what I'm really telling you about is this has affected our home life because we are constantly going over this play. And I look at Cinda, and she's, I'm trying to watch the debate last night, and I should have been helping her with the play because I had to stop and vomit a few times. So I didn't mean to spend that much time with it, and she said, don't do that yet, so don't tell on me, all right? Don't tell her I did this, and it's on the internet and everything, and if anybody wants to invite me over to eat Sunday or something, I'd appreciate it. I just know that everybody using their ability is a dream I have as a pastor. And people stepping down where they need to step down, stepping up where they need to step up, get involved in the thing. And let's watch this thing take off. Doing it God's way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for those that have been patient with me tonight, faithful to be here. Bless each one of their lives. Meet their needs. I humbly ask you to minister to each heart. And I pray that something edifying could be received tonight for the body of Christ and for the glory of God. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.